Have you ever seen someone do really well and wonder how on earth they managed it? I've found myself asking that very question at times, and now I want to uncover the elements that go into creating success, influence, connection, and most importantly, happiness in people's lives. My friends, welcome to the High Performance Human Podcast.
A very warm welcome once again, everyone, to the High Performance Human Podcast. Andy here, as always, and I am joined by someone who I've known for a lot longer than I realized, actually, to be perfectly honest. She just pointed out to me it's been over a decade, pretty much, which is pretty full on. I didn't realize that. That's quite scary. Sarah Cincotta is a coach in the BDM space, a business development space, and predominantly in the real estate industry. But the thing that impresses me so much about this individual is her ability to stay laser focused on her mission, her goals, her niche. The level of focus I've found to be quite remarkable, and the fruits of that are certainly coming to the fore. She's shooting to prominence in what is a tremendously hectic and very, very competitive space, and I'm absolutely delighted to be able to call her a friend. Sarah, how are you?
Oh, I'm really well, Andy, but what an introduction. Thank you. You're just such a beautiful human.
I'm getting good at these intros, man. Everybody says that. It's wicked. I love it. Right. So, Sarah, I'm really excited to have you on this show, because for a number of reasons. One, having seen from a relatively close distance the trajectory of your growth, not just as a professional, but also as a human being as well, has been quite remarkable. And particularly because you are right in the sweet spot from a generational point of view, where a heck of a lot of people and a lot of other generations are, for all intents and purposes, shitting on you guys from a great height. And I think that I really want to dig into this whole notion that millennial generation is a somewhat lost generation. And I think that you are one of the examples that I know of someone who is absolutely the opposite and shows what can be done. Because I think what you'll hear in this show team is Sarah is a young person with a very wise head on her shoulders, and it's not been not through anything. Like it's not like she's been an old soul from day one, but the level of development and growth that she's put into herself has absolutely paid dividends. So before we get stuck into all of that though, Sarah, what I'd love to know first and foremost, and I think what a few fans would like to hear, is who you are first and foremost and what got you to this point in your journey.
Yeah. Who is Sarah? Really interesting question. And I think a lot of people go straight to their title. Like, yes, I'm a business development manager, mentor, and I work within the real estate space. And yes, that is part of my identity, but I like to call myself a corporate hippie. And a lot of my clients that have worked with me would agree, being that, yes, I work in the corporate space, but I love all things meditation, mindfulness, holistic healing, and that is through my own personal journey and experiences. People call me a pocket rocket. I'm 5'2". Andy, you laugh because I said, you know, I'm 35. And you're like, really? You're that old? I was like, yeah, I'm 35 because I'm a little human. But definitely.
You're just really little, by the way.
I am really little. High energy, and I'm a very passionate and loving individual. That's how I would describe myself. I'm also a daughter. I was born on the same day as my mum, which is pretty special because I have three brothers. So sorry, mum, but also what a blessing for us both with our beautiful connection. I'm also a partner. I have a beautiful partner. We've been together now nearly 2.5 years, and you'll hear me probably mention his name throughout today as well. I'm a sister. And most importantly, Andy, I think is I'm a human being, right? So.
Last time we checked, yeah. But going off some of your success, I'm starting to wonder a little bit if there's a cape underneath some of that clobber, to be honest, the way that you're carrying on. But Now, we always ask this question to every single guest, Sarah, and I'm sure you will have heard. I personally feel that there are four pillars to being a high-performance human, namely success, connection, influence, and happiness. Intrigued to hear what your definition is of a high-performance human.
Where do I start? Obviously, I listened to your podcast, and there's been a lot of synergy between who you've had on and what they have said. And I think it's no surprise that you are getting similar responses, Andy. But for me, and if I look at my journey, the people that I work with or that I know or that inspire me is because they take consistent action that leads to the results. With that, though, I also believe that you need to have discipline to go after the things that you want to achieve in life. So, and that's just having a really clear focus towards the things that you want. So if you have that clear vision, you've got that determination, you're being consistent with the action that you take, you are going to get results and be considered as a high-performing human. That's my belief.
Yes, consistency is certainly one of the ones that keeps popping up. But one word that I think we do need to highlight in, that hasn't been spoken about quite as much is clarity. The clarity of what you want to achieve or where you want to be or who you want to be, really, I think is really critical. And that's not something that many people are highlighting, to be honest. I want to dig into that. So, and it kind of segues us into the chunk of the conversation today, because you've been someone that has had an absolute clarity with what you want to do, how you want to influence, where you want to end up, who you want to work with, all the rest of it. Talk to me about how you found your path towards having that level of clarity, because you are very niche in the messages that you deliver or the people that you deliver your messages to primarily. It bleeds out 100% because it's relevant to everyone pretty much, but you communicate directly towards business development managers, particularly in the real estate space. But talk to me about that trip towards gaining that clarity, because you didn't start life as a BDM, I know, and you've had a few little bumps and whatnot on the way, which I'm sure we'll go into a little bit later, but talk to me about that clarity piece.
Yeah.
What do you think has helped you gain the level of clarity that you've got?
Yeah, I love that. So I said clear vision, and I love that you're saying clarity. So when I say vision, that is when we refer to as clarity. And it wasn't always there, Andy. And I want to be really clear with anyone listening or watching that it wasn't always clear, okay? However, before I really started to gain my clarity and be clear on my vision, I knew that I needed help.
Mm.
As human beings, we don't have to, and I think that we shouldn't, do life alone. And there are people out there that we can turn to, our mentor, our coaches, our friends, our family, our colleagues, to help us gain that clarity and to really see that clear vision forward. Okay, so I want to be really clear on that. For me, it really started nearly 7 years ago. Some have heard this journey that I talk about very vulnerably and openly. Is I found out that I had a benign tumor on my liver. It was 8x6 centimeters long. It had ruptured. I was lucky I didn't have internal bleeding, but I was rushed to hospital and I had to get 50% of my liver removed. Now, as a young woman at the time, it was very scary stuff. And I actually didn't know if it was cancerous or not until I woke up from having that surgery. So it was a moment in my life that I will be forever grateful for, though, Andy, because it really gave me the wake up that I needed. Because at that time, I was working as a property manager. I was extremely unfulfilled. I was burnt out. I had no idea what I wanted to do next. But that pivotal moment in my life helped me go out there and really chase what I wanted. Okay.
How old were you?
What am I now? 35, 7 years ago. Do the maths.
28.
Yeah. 28. So.
Okay. Interesting, right? This is one thing that really does my head in about life is that I know it's a very, very commonly used adage that, you know, some of the best lessons come badly wrapped. I know it's really, really common vernacular now, that. But why is it, right, that you, that we as humans have to hit such a level of anxiety or fear or desperation in order to have these epiphanies, these realizations? Why on earth does our brain and our body need to be shocked to that extent in order to gain any sense of clarity in our life? It's stupid, right? Well, I mean, what are your thoughts around this? Like, is it possible to get an equivalent degree of impact on your life without having to go through some shit like that?
Yes, I think it'll get easier now, Andy, because of what's happening in our generations, the level of awareness that individuals have, the accessibility to so much information now. So you have the ability to go on and learn really easy at your fingertips, yeah? But it's becoming more and more common now that we can do that. There's so many resources that we have available for free that we don't have to pay for. I think now it's becoming something that people can access more easily. People are now speaking up because they're seeing other people speaking up, right? You can actually see and witness other people's journey, and so that you don't have to make the same mistakes. Yeah. And I think that's why we have mentors and coaches, is let's not make those mistakes. We invest in someone that can help us so that we can get really clear. We have that clarity and we don't have to deal with pain. I also, though, on the flip side of that, have this philosophy that in life, we are meant to learn lessons. And for me, and this is going, you know, quite on a deeper level, and for those that don't know me, well, I do like to go deep sometimes in the conversations, and Annie knows that, but there were things that I needed to learn. And a lot of the trauma for me started when I hadn't even been brought to earth yet, and that was around my birthing. There was lots of trauma there. I was born breech. I had my umbilical cord stuck around my neck. It was a very traumatic experience. And as anyone that's done some inner work would know, that between the ages when you're born to you're 7 years old, you are conditioned so much by your environment. And unfortunately, those things we can't control. So during our life, and when we get to being a teenager or an adolescent, is we start having to face these things on a unconscious level, right? And consciously, we're not aware of all this shit that our body has stored, that we actually have to heal and learn, okay, why is this happening to me? What can I do about this? Yeah. So I think if you have been brought up in a really beautiful environment, amazing. Maybe you won't have to endure some of the pain or go through some of the challenges and lessons as some people have had to endure as a young person. Yeah. So I think that can have an impact on our journey. And I mean, the stats are out there. I don't know what the stats are, Andy, but a lot of us are facing things as adults from our childhood.
Do you think, though, there's a couple of things in that, right? We're digressing already, which is awesome. There's a couple of things. I had the incredible Dr. Christy Goodwin on the show, and she we talked about, and she brought up in that conversation the society's lack of ability to be able to handle stress. Mm-hmm. And she said it's the deterioration or the erosion of stress resistance. Now, I actually think she's absolutely spot on with that. And I do think that is a huge problem, because I think that there's, and this is where you talked about there being so much information out there. Mm-hmm. Could we argue that there is that much information out there that it's luring people into a false sense of security? And that because we are spoiled in our riches regarding information, our brains, our minds haven't got the ability to be able to process that to a level that actually makes it worth even listening to. Because so much of it is just like, why noise? So much of it, because there is that much stuff, that many little inspirational bits and all the rest of it and all the sort of rah-rah crap and whatnot. And it all just turns into white noise after a bit, right? So could you argue that there is, you don't want to ever say too much information. There's no such thing as too much information. But could you argue that we don't necessarily pay enough attention to a smaller amount of information that's going to create a much greater impact in our lives?
So what I think about that, Andy, is that there are a lot of things that we can control. Okay. So if we are just a consumer, then you're going to go on your phone and you're going to start scrolling on social media and you're going to feel so overwhelmed by all of the white noise or rubbish that is put out there. However, if you can get really clear on your intention on why you're going on social media, what is the specific information that you want to source, then you can control that information that you are then consuming. Because as human beings as well, Andy, we have a choice, okay? We all have our own beliefs. We all have our own values and we all have our own opinions. And that's what makes us individual beings. I think we can get stressed or overwhelmed if we're not clear on our purpose of what it is that we want to learn, why we want to learn it, and how does that benefit us in our life and the people that surround us as well. Because every single thing that we do, things that we say, can have a consequence on towards other people and can also have a positive influence in your environment and in your community. So I think it comes down to control and the choices that you make as well.
Choice is an interesting topic of conversation, right? And I think that I'd like to unpack this bit with relation to your choices that you've made, especially relatively recently with regards to your career trajectory and your direction and whatnot. Because as you mentioned very briefly, you were a property manager who had a lack of fulfillment in your life and you weren't in a great space or place, had all this health stuff go on. And off the back of that, started to go, right, I need to get a grip of this. So the first choice that you made was, I need to get a grip of this. I need to change shit up. In terms of your direction from there and having that clarity that was brought around through the health scare that you had, how would you say, if you think pre-trauma and pre-health stuff and post-health stuff, how would you say your choice, your decision-making around choices, how would you say they change from pre to post? Because the choices that you've made post-surgery and all the rest of it have sent you on a path that I don't even think you wouldn't have thought you'd have been to the point that you're at right now in such a short space of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But tell me, what do you think the differences are?
Yeah. So when I said that was my moment, I was like, Sarah, what are you doing? I actually started then looking for opportunities. Okay. So I could have just taken a back seat and gone, okay, poor me. This has happened to me. You know, what am I gonna do? Or I could have just stayed as a property manager. I had the choice and I went out there and I seeked opportunities. Now I was very grateful still to this day that someone saw the fire in my belly, as they would say, because I was such a passionate person. Okay. And through their belief in my capabilities, I then stepped into the business development management role. It was in that moment, Andy, I made a commitment that I was going to give it my absolute all. That first year as a business development manager, I had, I think there was about 20 things on my list that I wanted to do. And it was that first year I was like, I want to be one of the top performing business development managers in Australia. So it was that was my vision. That was my clarity. I got really clear on what I wanted to do and my why. And that was the other thing that really changed for me is my why was I wanted to help and make an impact on as many investors as I could. That was my why. Everything else was a byproduct of that. So yes, I was able to then have a six-figure earning job. So I was able to buy my house on my own. And that was a huge milestone for me because I actually didn't think I would be able to do that on my own. I, you know, bought a new car. But apart from those materialistic things that I was able to achieve, to be honest, Andy, I still wasn't fulfilled with who I was as an individual. It was only up until, I would say, 3 years ago that I invested in my first coach, like outside of the real estate industry. I must specify that. Carlo Cirello, his name is. And it was like I had rebirthed. That's how I'm going to explain it. So on the exterior, yes, I was this bubbly, positive, high-performing person. I had, you know, beautiful friends and family. I did work really hard. I was consistent, but I still wasn't feeling fulfilled with who I was. So I knew that there was some deeper work that I needed to do, right? Because I was looking happy, but I wasn't actually feeling happy. And that had to do with I just wasn't giving myself enough love and self-love. That's what I'm going to come to it. So we can work hard and we can have all these amazing things, but the biggest pivotal moment for me in working with that coach was I had to learn to love myself. And who was Sarah without work? I had to remove that identity completely. Mm. And that was the biggest change. So then when it came to my niche, Andy, when I started doing this work, it was funny because I started attracting more people. So at that time, I wasn't a mentor and I was getting calls from business development managers saying, Sarah, what are you doing? How are you doing these things? And I was more than happy to talk to people and have conversations with them and converse with what we're doing, be optimistic about the industry because it was hard times. COVID was my best year actually as a business development manager, believe it or not, because one thing that life has taught me is the choices that I made, the change that I did was that opportunities are everywhere. And you've got that, you make that decision to show up regardless of what's happening, right? And that's just from the resilience that I've learned through my life experiences. Then although I have been really happy with the place of businesses that I have worked, there was this feeling of that lack of support still. I outgrew, and this is not coming from a place of ego. This is coming from a place of being transparent with you all. I got to a point where I feel like I outgrew the business development manager role because I was definitely in that entrepreneurial mindset rather than being in an employee mindset. And there is a difference between that. And you would realize that too, Andy. But this was, I was like, we can have that entrepreneurial mindset as a business development manager. And this is what I want to teach people. I want to teach people that they are limitless in what they can do and that they can love themselves outside of work, inside of work. It's all interconnected. And they have the choice to look at their role within a business, because what they do every day has an impact on not just tomorrow for their career, but for their life. And that is through my lesson. So that was when I found my niche. I was like, this is what I'm doing. I want to give back to the industry. I want to change the stigma around the business development management role. And that was my clarity, Andy. And once I got really clear on that, there was no looking back then.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by Rita, Real Estate Training Australia. Shane and the team genuinely care for the success of all of their students, not only providing them with the qualifications to enter the industry, but the skills in order to thrive. With 24-hour online support, access to one-on-one training sessions, lifetime access to industry mentors and support, as well as free job-ready training programs for anybody that gets their qualifications through their portal. They're a tremendous outfit, and they want to make sure that everybody that comes into the industry stays in the industry. For more information, make sure you head to their website, www.reta.edu.au.
Gang, I highly recommend that you just rewind a couple of minutes and just pay a little bit closer attention to what Sarah just said there, because there's about, I think there's probably just in that little bit there, there's probably around about 4 to 6 things that we could really dig into. And each one of them could be very profound if you're looking to try and get to a better level of performance, or, you know, have a greater sense of contentment in one's life. Then there's a few things that really do stick out if you just pay a little bit of a closer attention to the last few minutes. There's a couple of things that I really want to dig into, though. The first one, though, that you mentioned was having to discover your identity outside of your work. Now, if there was anything that lockdowns taught us, was that without our work, there are so many people that really lack identity in who they are. Our work, because we spend so much of our lives working, right? We do naturally attach our identity wagon to the job train, right? And that, it can be a real issue if you're not doing something that really lights your fire. And let's face it, the vast majority of people aren't doing something that lights their fire, right? And you and I, we are lucky to have stumbled across the thing that we're supposed to do and whatnot, right? But you mentioned about love to self and identity with some of the work that you did with the coach there. I want to dig into that a little bit. So you said before that you really lacked identity, you lacked fulfillment. What is it that you discovered specifically within your identity when you were doing that work that really anchored into you as legit? Because, and the reason why I asked that specifically in that way is because lots of people try doing personal development and courses and self-help books and all the rest of it, right? And I think this is even before you even get to something like a discovering a why, or, you know, you go down the Simon Sinek path, start with why or whatever, right? This has to come before that, because you can't work out your why if you don't know who the hell you are. Give me, is there one or two elements particularly that you discovered within your own identity that had that profound impact that has lasted you, that will last you a lifetime?
Yeah. And one of those ones was, I think self-acceptance, Andy, was a big one for me. So that goes with that self-love. It's, we're never going to be perfect individuals, okay? But I had really high expectations on myself. Mm. And in turn, that means I had high expectations on other people, which meant that I was constantly being let down by myself and by other people, all right? So once I had this realization of being accepting of myself and just loving myself for who I was, it's letting go of those expectations of myself, of other people. And team, if you're listening, this was, like I said, this was, you know, over three years ago. It wasn't an overnight success. It wasn't an overnight, okay, now all of a sudden I love myself. Like I said, I felt like I had a rebirth, meaning I really had to strip back everything and start again, right? So one of those, that self-acceptance, that self-love, Andy, was that I've got a big scar on my tummy from my operation. Mm. And, you know, people would say, well, that's your battle scar. But for me, it's something that I was always self-conscious about.
Yeah, fair.
Loving myself and having that acceptance, meaning that that scar doesn't define what happened, doesn't define me, doesn't make me feel less beautiful. As a woman, and, you know, you spoke about the new generations, millennials, there's so much pressure. We have to look a certain way. We have to talk a certain way. We've been so much conditioning and more now because of our devices, right?
And this is sort of half the point I was getting to with regards to, is there too much information out there now that we, our own identities just get washed in a sea of stuff?
Yeah, that's right. So it's, you have to have that. I like to think now I create that space of solitude. Okay. So solitude means for me now in practicing that mindfulness or meditation that I can just be with myself in that moment. Nothing else matters. I'm accepting of who I am. I'm loving myself and I'm not tied to anything in that moment. All right. There's no noise. And this was hard. My coach had me look at myself in the mirror and I had to tell myself that I loved myself by looking at myself in my mirror. And I remember it was one of the hardest things that I had to do. I was bawling my eyes out. It was so difficult for me to look at myself and say that I loved myself, but yet I was looking at my identity being like, but I'm such a loving person and I love everyone, you know, and I'm coming from this place, but I couldn't even do that to myself. Right. Mm-hmm. I think that was the biggest thing to shape me into who I am now is that self-acceptance. And also with that, Andy, and we spoke about this, yes, there has been some things that have occurred the last 12 months and, you know, people trying to bring me down or people will say specific things. And it's because of my self-acceptance and my resilience that I'm like, F that, right? I don't have a care for
it. You're allowed to swear, by the way.
Oh, awesome. Well, fuck that, right? because it's like you don't dictate how I feel about myself. You don't dictate my purpose. You don't dictate my why, right? You will not stop me from loving who I am and what I have created. So that was the first thing. The second thing with my identity, and to be honest, team, I'm still not 100% there yet, right, was health, okay? Because I remember back in my 20s, I still look at pictures sometimes. I'm like, damn, Sarah, you look tight. You know, your body was great and, you know, working out and you had so much energy. And we talk about health and our mindset and, you know, having, you know, your mind, body, soul connected. And I wasn't prioritizing my health. I still slip up, right? However, I've made a conscious choice that I don't drink coffee and people look at me and going, what the hell? You don't drink coffee. I don't drink alcohol anymore. Andy, I remember sitting down and conversing over this, and I made a conscious choice this year, no more alcohol, because I wanted to be a conscious human. Also because we've all got our poisons, right? But in the real estate industry as well, and this comes this word conditioning, it's like we have to celebrate with alcohol. Why do we have to celebrate with alcohol? We go to a wedding to celebrate someone getting married and it turns into an absolute piss up, right? So are we actually there celebrating someone getting married or is it just an opportunity to have a piss up? And Australians, I mean, we're pretty bad at this, right? Like, to be honest, and alcohol, it's people always talk about cigarettes and, oh, it's so bad and, yes, you shouldn't do drugs, but then it's acceptable to drink alcohol on a regular basis. Anyway, you do what you want to do. We've all got our poison. But one of the things with my journey and my identity was looking after my vessel. And that's such an important thing is our body. And from my experience as well with my surgery, it was if I want to perform good, if I want to look after my mind, body, and soul, then I need to nurture this vessel. And that's my health. Okay. And by really looking at those true foundation core things, that really changed. Because, Andy, I used to smoke. I was a smoker. So you can imagine, and this is just, and I look at how far I've come. I'm like, I can't believe that I used to smoke cigarettes, right? And people go, it's because I'm stressed or it's an addiction. Coming back to this, you have a choice. Do you want to look after your health? Do you want to look after this vessel? Do you want to have high energy during the day? Yeah. So these are there's some pivotal moments for me to help me with my identity on how does Sarah want to show up? How does Sarah want to behave? Who do people want to remember Sarah by? And a lot of people will say, and clients that I work with, it's because of my energy, but damn, I've worked hard to look after my aura and my energy because I've had a lot of people try to break me. And now I'm just like, you can try, but this aura and my energy is pretty damn solid now.
I'm going to circle back to this knocking of Sarah, these sort of barbs that you've copped as you've sort of been on this upward trajectory. Before that, though, you mentioned that you had a very physical element to you, being your scar on your tummy, that you really struggled to accept. What are one or two other things within yourself that you found were particularly difficult pills to swallow in terms of that journey towards self-acceptance?
Yes. So as a young teenager, I was diagnosed with polycystic ovary syndrome. I was bullied in high school by immature boys, right? But because I had severe acne and I was at a Catholic school, so we couldn't wear makeup. So my skin was exposed and it was a horrible experience for me. So something that I was always conscious of was my skin. Probably any a little bit still to this day, because I've had so much trauma around my skin and my hormones and all of those things. But it's accepting that if I have a pimple on my face, I've actually got a couple now, but I'm not going to not go out because I've got a couple of pimples on my face, right? So I was just accepting that we're human beings, right? When we're not meant to have this perfect skin, right? And yes, I'm going to get wrinkly and get older. So there was this, and again, letting go of things that happened in the past to accept myself who I am now, because that didn't dictate who Sarah is now. That was an experience that I had to went through, that I had to go through, sorry. But to accept that that's okay, forgive those people that did that, because they probably gone through their own shit to actually bully someone like that. But I can be love myself for who I am now, right? So that was a another thing that I had to overcome too, was that.
You know who we need to talk to a lot more of, right? Nudists. Right? Weekend just gone, gang. The weekend before when we're recording this episode, I was driving back from, there was an Antipodean festival in the middle of Melbourne. And so, of course, I was hungry. So we went and popped in for a souva and all the rest of it. And on our way back from there, from the city, we were driving through the through town and we stopped at the traffic lights. I had my mother, who was over from the UK, and my two children. Eliza 9, Callum 5. I don't know what I'm looking at. I'm sort of looking just off in the distance. And then all of a sudden, my daughter, who sat behind me, shouts, "Boobies!" And I was like, "Oh, you ain't got Tourette's all of a sudden, have you?" She said, "No, boobies, Dad, boobies over there, look." And I looked across to discover a sea of nudist bicyclists.
Oh, I saw that.
And I stood, and we sat there, and my mum's crying, laughing, and my son's like desperately trying to, and I think he's starting to discover girls, by the way, at 5, which is slightly disconcerting. and everyone's pissed themselves laughing, right? But the thing that struck me, right, there's all these different shapes and sizes, like bicycling around and nice and casually, and they weren't doing a race, they were just casually just wandering on through. The occasional pair of shorts were there as well. But aside from my first concern is, which was those bike seats better be really comfy. Right? That was my first thought. My second thought was before I started thinking logistics and mechanics of where things went and what have you. My second thought was, how accepting must they be of themselves to be able to have, I don't even know if you could call it confidence. I just think it's having the acceptance in self to be comfortable enough to ride through a city on a bike in the buff.
Yeah. And Andy, I've actually seen one of the publishers share that, and some of the comments from people is actually really disgusting as a society, right? So instead of having that view like you just had, they're actually shaming these people for doing that in public. And I think that it's actually, I couldn't do it. I'm not at that level of self-acceptance.
God, no.
But for them, it must be, and I can only imagine, freeing for them to be able to experience that.
Mm.
There's no shame. They don't care about judgment from anyone else.
Oh, it's massive, man. So a few years ago when I was working in a hotel and we had a nudist weekend that I had to look after, right? So the hotel got cordoned off, had an indoor swimming park and all the rest of it. And from 5 p.m. on the Friday through till I think it was 10 or 11 a.m. on the Sunday, it was nudists only, right? Mm-hmm. So we had the British Nudist Society come and stay and I had to look after them all. And it was very, very interesting. And this is where my sort of opinion on them changed dramatically from that's a bit weird to one of wow, like the comfort that they have in their own skin when you talk to them. And it's kind of weird, right? Because after that initial shock of seeing bits and bobs dangling around and whatnot, you don't see it. It's odd. You just don't see it when you're talking to them. It's like they're talking to someone in clothes. It's weird. But anyway, and they were telling me that it doesn't just percolate. It's not just about being nude and being at one with nature or any of that sort of hippie stuff. Their outlook on life in terms of how much more in control they are of the information and how they process it and all the rest of it was mad. It was incredible. And after that, I was like, you should give it a go one time. Like, yeah, I'm all right. Thanks. All the best. But it's just crazy to think that, you know, there are people, and I suppose you could put this to a number of different people that really have gotten out a bit of an outspoken voice, or I don't want to call it outspoken, but they are principled in their opinions and whatnot. I think it's probably a better way of putting it. And this segues us into another big challenge that you've had a lot more recently, which has been the resistance to your growth from external people and whatnot, right? So one thing, team, you know, she's mentioned it at the top of the show, which is consistency being a part of the definition of a high-performance human. One thing that Sarah has been absolutely consistent with is the messaging that she's had in her social media, on her work stuff, and on all of her things that she's been doing. She's been tremendously consistent in the messaging, the values behind the messaging, the energy behind the messaging, and she's been tremendously consistent in just being open with her opinions on things. Nothing overly offensive, because she's not an offensive person, but and partly because it's all coming from the right place. But I mean, yeah, as Sarah basically mentioned very, very briefly, she's copped a lot of criticism, either directly or indirectly, from others who you could call them risk averse, I guess. It would be the polite way of putting them. Tall poppies, and in Australia in particular, but I'm sure it'd be across all of Western civilization. Tall poppy syndrome is a huge problem, especially in that millennial generation, because woe betide a millennial actually have a voice for themselves, because the generation above all shit on them. Baby boomers will really shit on them. And then the ones coming up from below think that they're useless. So, Sarah, let's talk about that a little bit, because I know that you get a bit sort of worked up over this sort of carry on. And I know you've grown a real thick skin and your aura is tremendous now and whatnot, but it wasn't. For a while, it wasn't, right?
Yeah.
What sort of doubt did it create in your mind?
Oh, definitely there are certain things that will come up in my mind, and I have to be really conscious to allow that in or not, right? I'll start with that. So I've had someone say to me, good luck going up against all the big players like your Tom Panoses. And I was like, I don't inspire to be like Tom Panos. That's Tom Panos, you know. Love Tom Panos, but not for me. That's not my message. I've had someone criticize my Rise t-shirts,
what's wrong with them?
Apparently I should
have heard that one.
Oh, you haven't heard that one yet?
Heard that one.
Apparently I should have had just the R instead of Rise. And I'm like, well, my branding is Rise, not R. So just petty stuff. I've had people try to take advantage of the fact that I've had quite a big emphasis on my personal branding to the point where they're wanting to utilize my branding to, how do I put this politely?
Advance their agenda.
Yes, that's, thank you, Andy. Yep. Someone try to absorb my program. I've had Chinese whispers of some other leaders in the industry say that the award was rigged of me winning the Industry Influencer of the Year award. These comments, Andy, are pretty pathetic. I think that these happen and other leaders behave like this, and I'm not afraid to call it out because I think if you're trying to lead in the industry, it's pathetic to say these things. We're all about helping the industry and really raise the standards, but yet you've got people behaving differently to what they appear like externally, right? So I'm very big on when you're working on yourself internally, then externally, it'll be the same, right? And I had to really, it did impact me. There was tears, especially early on in the business. It's freaking hard. Anyone who said it's easy, it's hard. And we're all kind of like winging it through at the start until we find our flow.
When these tears happened, when these tears happened, like, tell me some of the commentary that was going on internally.
Yeah. So I guess the, imposter syndrome stuff, am I not good enough? Do I not deserve this? Comparing myself to some of the other coaches, they are some typical things that came up. Like, did I make the right decision? And it was just, I was also sad by the words, if anything. So there was disappointment, sadness. Also, there was some anger there for sure that I needed to deal with. But then also it fueled my fire even more. Like, I've always had that fire in my belly, and if anything, that just fueled it even more to go, well, obviously I'm making such a huge impact in the industry that people need to try to criticize me or bring me down.
You're making such an impact in the industry, and this is the real estate space, by the way.
Yeah.
You're making such an impact in the industry that people feel they need to criticize or bring you down.
Yeah.
Now, allow me to play devil's advocate for a second.
Hmm.
Could that be jealousy, or could it be the fact that you might not, or they don't agree with you, and therefore they want to express the fact that they just simply don't agree with you, which is not a problem. People are allowed to not agree with people, and you're being, and like I said, devil's advocate here. Hmm. And were there times where you sort of wondered, am I being a bit too precious? And doubted your own train of thought on things?
No, I wouldn't say that came up. I don't think I'm too precious, because no one else will see the amount of work that goes on behind the scenes except for me and, well, my partner, right? Or the amount of, resilience and endurance that I've had to persevere regardless of the external factors. For sure, there could be some jealousy, Andy. There could also be, and I talk about this, is that mirror, mirror. It's when we find ourselves saying something about someone else, what is that saying about us, right? Like, where is the lesson in that? So if I'm like, oh, well, Andy is just, making all this money and he doesn't care, well, what's that saying about myself if I'm saying that about you? I think that's just turning that reflection onto ourselves. And that's just this self-awareness that I've got now from doing the work and working with coaches, that I have the ability to do that. I'm allowed to still feel those things. But what I've got good at, Andy, is I can feel it in that moment. I will process it, analyze it, and then I'll let it go and move on. Because for me, it's not my purpose and my vision. My clarity is so clear that why would I let other people's jealousies or insecurities impact what my purpose is in life and the influence that I want to have on our real estate community?
How do you react if you're wrong?
Who defines what's wrong and who defines what's right? Like you said before, we're all entitled to have our own opinions and beliefs. And as coaches and mentors, we quite often will share our opinion and beliefs on something. Doesn't mean that that's right. It's someone's making a choice to choose if our message is right, right? Likewise, they will choose if it's wrong because of their eyes on it.
So if I challenged you on something.
Yeah.
The reason why I'm digging into you on this one is because I feel that when it comes back to what we mentioned, but because Christy Goodwin said about stress resilience, right? Having that sense of feeling that someone else has got an opinion that you go, you know what, fuck, that might actually be legit. That might actually be right. That there's a stress reaction that comes with having your opinion challenged and tested and whatnot. And I think that a part of something that we all need to overcome is the ability to handle being wrong, or the ability to admit, you know what, well, fuck, maybe I do need to change my MO on this.
Yeah.
And this is why I'm digging into it with you, because you are someone that is so very open with your mind and your thoughts and all that sort of stuff, which is awesome. But have you ever, and I'm intrigued to see what your answer is going to be here. But have you ever had an opinion thrust back at you and gone, oh, fuck yeah, maybe. And how have you reacted to that?
Yeah. Do you know, the person who has actually had their biggest opinion and I suppose influenced and challenged the absolute shit out of me is my partner. And love him for it, because that he's also helped me grow so much. And yeah, he has said some things sometimes and I'm like, no, I'm not like that. Or you gotta be fucking kidding me. Like, why are you saying that? And in that moment, I'm like, no. But then you stop and reflect, Andy. It's creating that space, right? Mm-hmm. And this is why, for that solitude, creating that space that you can pause, stop, journal, write it down. And is that true?
Mm. Right?
What that person is saying, is that my truth?
Mm-hmm.
Is that their truth? Okay. And there's a process to do that in your mind. Like we talk about our mind, talk about high performance humans. Mindset is so important, right? Mm. And we've gone deep into some of this stuff today, but I think it's, I will admit if I'm wrong. And if I've been pulled up by someone and say, hey, Sarah, I actually didn't like that you've said this, I will stop and be like, is this true? Did I react like that? Or was that my intention to say it like that? Let's just digest this. And then if I'm in the wrong, once I have digested it, I am more than happy to admit and say, I'm sorry. Yeah. But I think as well in our industry, Andy, and what I encourage some of my clients, that it's actually okay to have a different opinion to someone else. You're a human being. Yeah. So if you don't like my opinion, you're okay not to like that opinion. Not everyone is meant to like us. We're not for everyone. And that's why there's so many coaches. That's why there's so many real estate agents, because not everyone is going to want to transact with us or work with us. Yeah. So I think share your opinions. And if you're wanting to challenge someone's opinion or say, well, that's not true, well, who are you to say if that's true or not? Is what I would be asking.
Mm. I like that. Giving yourself the space to actually marinate on the challenge first before deciding on the outcome, I think is really, really important. And I think that it also, if you want to challenge someone, because we are a population of overreactors, right? Half the time you can't give an opinion without someone having a crack, right? I think that we all need to understand if we're going to progress as a society, shit needs to be challenged. If nothing gets challenged, then everything will stay the same and we'll all just keep whinging, right? But I think if you are one of the people that wants to challenge, I think half the battle is the energy that you come forth with said challenge, right? Because there's some people that have just been a pain in the ass to you, right? They're just assholes, right? They're just not, they're not coming at it with the right intention in any way, shape, or form. But I think that that's something that we need to perhaps work on as individuals, is that if we want to challenge someone, then we need to make sure that our intention is well lined.
Yeah.
And we've got to make sure before we go ahead and start swinging the bat, we've actually got to stop for a second, because like what Sarah said, give yourself the space to process the challenge. As the person presenting the challenge, before you go ahead, I think you need to stop for a second and run through a filter of, is this for the betterment of me or for the betterment of the people to which the message is being broadcast? If the intention is purely self and it is an ego dent that you are trying to have fixed, then, you know, it doesn't stop you from having a difference of opinion. But this is where you got to actually think about where you deliver said opinion. So, you know, and if you're not sure, then in order to benefit society, maybe it's best if you take it offline or you do it directly and say, hey, look, I don't know if I agree with what you said just then. Like, what's the go? Right. But I think we're too quick to try and be right, that we're not comfortable enough when we're wrong.
Yeah. And there's lessons, Andy, always, you know, and that's the beauty of life. And that's how we grow, is if we are being challenged or we're faced with something that is a bit uncertain for us or unfamiliar, is that that's where there's an opportunity for us to grow as individuals, or constructive criticism. I always have this feeling when I'm getting up on stage, there's this bit of fear that I feel before I go up on stage, like how are people going to perceive me? I want to make sure my tone and my energy is right, the message is there. And it's just, but every single person in that audience is going to perceive me in a different way, right? So you can't just have that one message that's going to be perceived the same to everyone, because it won't. It'll be different. And I think that's just in general, if we look at when we're putting our messages out, is that your message isn't going to be for everyone. And just remember, that's okay. But just get really clear on what you do believe in, right? And if someone is challenging that, it's okay if they're doing it in a nice way. And perhaps there is a lesson from why they're challenging you or questioning something that you have said. And I think if you can come from that place of, that bit of compassion and empathy as well, when someone is having the courage to confront you about it, then that's a really great thing. You'd rather that than people talk shit behind your back.
100%. 100%. Now, Sarah, I've taken up plenty of your time and this conversation, I love it. I love this show when the conversation just doesn't go in the direction that you had intended on going. They're just fabulous. I love it. So thank you so much for coming on the ride. One final question, though, before you go, and this is something I've been bringing in, is in your journey towards high performance, if there was one thing missing from your game right now, what would it be?
Yes. For me, patience. I'm a pretty impatient person. So that's one thing I definitely need to work on, this year is being patient. And that's just, again, with myself, and with other people and with the industry. I think when you're so passionate about wanting to make a difference and having a big contribution, I can get impatient sometimes because things aren't happening quick enough. And it's like, come on, guys, let's get things done. Let's do it, you know. But we obviously know that the issues that exist now as well, it's going to take a bit more time. So that's something that I need to focus on, is patience with myself, for others, and I guess the world and the industry, life.
And your partner.
And my partner, yes. Oh, my gosh, he cops it. Poor thing. Love you, but yes.
Hey, look, Sarah Sincotta, thank you so, so much for joining us on the High Performance Human podcast. Team, You're mad not to be following this chick. She is a human and a half. Her diminutive size is more than made up for in the energy and the aura that she brings. She's a giant of a human being in those two elements. And I think that you need to make sure that you hit the show notes, follow her on the socials. They're all the links are on there, and make sure that you pay attention to not just what she says. You don't have to be a BDM in order to gain something from following Sarah. Just if you're not a BDM, but you just want to have a bit of an example as to how you can take control over your life and your direction and your trajectory, then S-Sincotta is most certainly someone that can teach you a thing or two. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Really, really appreciate your time. And team, thank you so much for joining us again. Stay safe, healthy, happy, and I look forward to speaking to you again on the next episode. Take care, team.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of The High Performance Human. Hopefully, we've given you enough value to justify the time that you've given us, and we've got you that much closer to becoming your version of a high performance human. If you want to have any questions answered, then please feel free to shoot me a DM on Instagram at Andy Reid Coaching, or alternatively, shoot me an email, andy@andyreid.com.au. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel. Thank you so much for joining us once again. And I really can't wait to hopefully bring you some more value in the next episode. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy. Most importantly, stay happy.